Well, good morning. Thank you. Thank you, church, for supporting me in the last 5 years to achieve that goal, and especially, and my brothers and my sisters, hear me, especially the last 2 years when I thought that it was lost, that I didn't know if I wanted to finish. And yet, my friends and my children said, "Dad, do not stop. Press on." And it was great being up in Kentucky this week and visiting old friends and professors and celebrating that time. And just thank you for the gift. Reuben, I hope you kept the receipt because Jennifer will be asking you for it. Does it have an alarm? And I'm not even using it right now, so. We're going to take a break from the unfinished series this morning, and I want to look at Daniel chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, and seniors, I know you do. You might want to take out a Sharpie or a pen or something and say, "This was my baccalaureate service." Some of you, you don't even know what that is, and it used to be back in the day. I remember my oldest brother, he is 9 years older than me. And so when he graduated, I was only about 9 years old. And I can just tell you my attitude about the baccalaureate service, which was, "This is stupid. Why do we have to dress up twice, go to the big center there, and they all had on their regalia, and they all filed in and sat down, and a preacher got up and preached a sermon. Then they all left. They didn't even graduate. And then, of course, the next night was the graduation. And my attitude was, why do we have to do this twice? But there was a day when even our public schools knew it was important for the local pastor to get in front of the graduating seniors and give them a charge. Say something to them about what God has in store for them. So we're going to take a break from where we have been, and we're going to look at Daniel chapter 1. And seniors, I should say, y'all get up and come right here. But I won't do that to you. Things are about to drastically change for you. Things are about to drastically change. You're about to embark on an adventure, and I can assure you that life as you have known it for the last 18 years is about to be over. Let me just give you a couple of clues. Laundry now becomes your problem. It's yours. Your parents are not going to be there, your mom or your dad, whoever does that, and say, "Don't worry, I did your laundry today while you were gone." It stacks up now, and you've got to figure out what to do with it. And usually you'll find out very quickly. It takes time. And it takes time to go to the... I remember, you know, trying to find the quarters to get to the laundromat to wash all these clothes. And I didn't care about colors and whites and reds. I looked at how much money. I looked at how many times I could wash, and everything got thrown in that many washes. Meals. Yikes. You're about to appreciate how much and how well your parents cook, because now you're going to be cooking. Or you're going to be going to the food service at the college, and again, you will appreciate how well your parents cook. I remember one of the things that was a aha moment for me was the first time I got sick when I was at college. Even at 18, when I was sick, my mom would take care of me. And all of a sudden, I was at college, and I was running a fever, and no one was there. Now, I know you still have the Cartoon Network, and you need that when you're sick. But no one's there to say, "Hey, you rest while I go get medicine for you, or I'll make a doctor's appointment for you." You're going to have to do those things. And cleaning, I hesitate to even put this because I know as a college student, cleaning is way, way down on the list. You have to clean up after yourself. And again, I know that's not going to be a priority for you, but listen, when you don't clean and all of a sudden you see things that begin to move that's when it's time to clean. When what you haven't cleaned begins to have an appetite, it's time to clean. Clean that up, okay? It just gets worse. But seriously, things are going to be different. And seniors, look at me. You're about to have freedoms that you've never had before. Not only do I want you to know that, listen to me. Satan knows that. You're about to have freedoms where those temptations have always been there with you, especially at high school. But you've always had a safeguard. You've had your mom or your dad looking over you. And even though they couldn't protect you from everything, they could protect you from some. And those days are coming to an end. There'll be some accountability. I'm still going to check your grades, Kendall. I think you'll be fine, but I'm still going to check them. But no one's going to tell you to turn off your phone and go to bed. You're going to be tempted to try some things you would have never tried at home. And I want you to know, your universities, your friends that you're going to make, they're going to want you to fit in with the world. Don't fit in. You are to be a foreigner in a foreign land. So I want us to read Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to pray over the reading, and I want you to see how Daniel was a foreigner in a foreign land. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for these graduates. And Lord, we see in your word where, Lord, there are celebrations when things are accomplished, when milestones are reached. And Lord, I pray that this would be a celebration. But Lord, I also pray that, Lord, with all of the things that these seniors are going to hear over the next several days, over the next several weeks, as they get ready to go to school and they begin to go to orientations and all that, Lord, I pray that more than anything, the truth of your word will stick with them. Lord, I pray that you will speak through me. And that even though with all of the things going on and we're all tired, that Lord, right now, you will stir their mind, awaken them, and let them hear the word of you. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we read Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aphinehas, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both the royal family and of the nobility, youths, without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among those were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your age? So you would endanger my head with the king? Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were in better appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away the food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Would you please be seated? There is much to be learned from this passage, but I do know I'm limited in time. There is one major difference here in that Daniel didn't really have a choice whether he was going to Babylon. He didn't have a choice in the matter, and some of your parents are grinning inside because they're going, oh, they don't have a choice, they're leaving. But I want you to see something, several things that are happening in this passage. First of all, Daniel and his friends, they were going to Babylon and they were going to get educated. I don't know if you caught that. They were going to learn the literature. It says both the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. What I want you to see is this is a select group of people. This wasn't all the teenagers. This wasn't all the youth. This was a select group of people that were going to Babylon. So the first thing I want you to notice this morning is that it truly is a blessing when you get the opportunity to obtain knowledge. It's a blessing. I hope that changed for me. There we go. Right now, I want you to know that many will say, well, look at our country. 63% of those who graduate from high school will go on to college. And everyone goes, that's great. I mean, that's more than half. But yet, if you got a 63% on your test, you wouldn't be excited about that. It still is a select group. By the way, 4 to 5 years from now, those that will finish, 37% of the 63% will finish. 37%. That's a minority, guys. Sam and I were just talking this morning, and hear me on this. I am a testament to this. It is not the smartest guy or girl who finishes college. It's the one who doesn't give up. Don't give up. You're going to want to sometimes. You're going to be tired. You're going to be at your wit's end. You're going to think, I don't want to do this anymore. Don't give up. You're going to get that test back. I will never forget my lowest. Here I am, 47. I still remember my lowest test score in college, 29. It is hard to recover from a 29. And I remember going to see my engineering professor. At least it wasn't in, you know, basket weaving. It was in engineering. And I remember going to see my engineering professor, and I was, here I am, this 20-year-old guy, and I'm going, what am I going to do? I made a 29. He goes, I know. I graded it. Well, what am I supposed to do? You better do better. You'll be retaking my class. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they completed their learning in 3 years. I know y'all are going to take 4 and 5, but they did it in 3. Now, I will say this, and Sam will back me up on this. They did have 2,500 less years of history to learn. So that was in their advantage. But I want you to catch what they're learning here. Because I know you're not heading off to seminary. You're going to colleges. You're going to learn engineering and business and music and education. That's what you're going to learn. Listen, they were not going to get, quote, Christian or Jewish education. They were going to learn the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. They were going into a pagan place learning pagan things. I promise you, they were learning the religion of the Babylonians. I promise you that. That's what the literature was going to be. Not only that, they're eating the king's food. Not only that, they are being renamed. They're not even keeping their names. And so that brings me to my second point. Interact with the culture, but don't immerse. Learn about the world, but don't lose yourself in it. I know you're not going to learn more about the Lord in college. And things are going to be different. You're going to be renamed. You will, in this particular case, all of you graduating from Summer Creek High School, but you will no longer be Bulldogs. I can't believe I'm saying this, but most of you are going to be Aggies. Good night. Joel believes that we're truly a Christian church because that's happening. I tell everyone it's a cult. And as he says, I hope I quote you right on this one. If you're outside,
it's not like being saved. If you're on the outside, you can't understand it. If you're on the inside, you can't explain.
There you go. Did y'all hear that? Well, I'll say the same thing about being a Louisiana Tech Bulldog. You can't understand it, and I can't explain it. What I'm saying is where you're going, interact. Get involved. Do those things. Don't waste these years. When I say be a foreigner in a foreign world, I'm not saying subtract yourself from your university. Get in there and do that. Man, I tell people all the time, if I could go back to any point in my life, it would be college band on game day. Man, I was all over that. I was interacting with everyone there. I loved it. Do those things. But don't be immersed in it. Notice that Daniel's plea is that he would not defile himself. He interacted. I mean, his name has changed. He's eating the food and he's learning the literature. But there was something about this food that was going to defile him. In other words, it was going to contaminate him. It was going to make him impure. Now, I'll tell you that theologians have chased a lot of rabbits about why that food and why that wine was going to make him impure. And we could chase those rabbits. I just don't think they have much meat on them. What I'm saying here is that Daniel had a desire to be different. Listen to me. I don't care if you go to a public university or a private Christian college. It's all there. It's all there. Satan does not cower just because a university has a denominational name on it. He's very active there. And there will be plenty at these universities to defile you. And the world will be going, take it. It's yours. No one will know. Your parents will never find out. Your pastor will never find out. Those that love and adore you and respect you back home, they'll never find out. Just go ahead. You will have to be determined to not be defiled. Learn, but don't lose yourself. Learn. Man, whatever your major is, go and learn it. Learn it well. You see, back then, there were only two choices. When a nation came in and conquered another nation, there was only two choices. Either kill all the youth, especially the young men. Kill them all. Why do you think they had to do that? So they wouldn't rebel and fight back again. You didn't want to fight that again. So you kill them all. Or there was a second choice. Re-educate them. Bring them in. Teach them your culture and your stuff. And re-educate them. That way they won't rebel against you. And I want you to know, the world is scared to death of the church. And what they want to do is re-educate you so you won't fight against them. Listen to me. Your university will not be friendly to a biblical worldview. They will not. Get good grades. Soak up that knowledge, but remain wise. D. Lloyd Jones, I love his writing. You hear me quote him all the time. He was a medical doctor, not just a theologian. He was a medical doctor. And when he was alive, he learned everything that modern-day science could teach him about the human body. But he never lost sight of this. That it's God who creates. It was God who created man and created man in His image. He never lost sight of that. Go learn about engineering. But don't you ever forget who put the laws of physics, the laws of nature in place. It's the Lord who did that. Go learn about the world. Go learn about all of the sciences and technology. Go learn all of that. But don't ever forget that all that is here was simply spoken into being by the Lord. Gain knowledge, but remain wise. They learn the Chaldean language and the literature. We know that by the reaction of the king. But they did not forget their Lord. They did not. Students, don't forget your Lord. Don't forget. Remember, you're the student. Be bold, but be patient. Do you see what Daniel does here? He knows this food and this wine is going to defile him. And again, I don't know exactly what that means. But he's bold. He goes to the eunuch, the head eunuch, and he says, look, take this away and just give me water and vegetables. Now, I'll tell you, that's a step of faith for me personally. I don't think I could do that. But he realizes that this eunuch, and the eunuch makes it very clear, it's just not my decision. You realize if I do this for you, my head is on the line here. I really like keeping my head and my body attached. And if I do this, I'm putting in danger that they become detached from one another. So look how bold he is, but also look what he does. Okay, well, let's compromise. Let's do this instead. Give us 10 days. 10 days and let's see what happens. I'm praying that you will find opportunities, that God will give you opportunities to speak up for your faith. Be bold, but be patient because you're the student. Realize that when you stand up and those professors are in front of you, whether that's privately in the office or if you're in the classroom and you feel like that there is a time that you are led, that you need to stand up because something is being said, and it will be said, that contradicts your faith. Be bold, but realize, just like this eunuch, those professors, they have people over them. They have deans, they have head of departments, they have presidents of universities. And some of them have the same faith, but they must teach what they need to teach. And that's why I'm saying, learn what you need to learn, but don't forget. I thought about it last night, students. I had the opportunity, 2 years ago, I got to teach y'all on Wednesday nights. And I thought, you know what? I wanted to put this in front of you one more time. D. Lloyd Jones said that Christians are truly the only people who think. They're the real thinkers. Sir Fred Hoyle was a British astronomer, certainly not a Christian. Matter of fact, he declared, he was asked, are you a Christian? He said, I am not, and I have no plans to be one. And so he looked at the world and what he was being taught. And again, I just want to give you one example, just one, that maybe will stick with you because there's a picture here that will help you. And by putting a picture up there, I've already given you 1,000 words. And he said, I can't go for this idea that there was spontaneous life. I can't. I'm not a Christian. I don't necessarily believe that God created, but something intelligent did something. It didn't just happen. I reminded you that your odds in winning the lottery is 1 in 120 million. What's your odds of winning the lottery? Certainly not impossible, but not very good odds, wouldn't you say? I mean, I can tell you one reason I don't play the lottery is those odds. It's just a waste of money. Mathematicians have come along and said, look, we know what's mathematically impossible. So even though those odds are not impossible, that is 1 in 10 to the 50th power. And so when you start looking at what does 1 in 10 to the 50th power look like, it looks like that. So when you begin to compare the odds of winning the lottery to the odds of what is impossible. By the way, if you ever decide I am going to play the lottery and the odds are 1 in 10 to the 50th, don't do it. You're not going to win. So Sir Frederick Hoyle began to calculate the odds of spontaneous life. What are the odds that there could be nothing without any intelligent design whatsoever that life would just begin? That was the odds. God created. And you may be going, well, that's not a picture. That's 1 in 10 with 40,000 zeros. That's the odds. Why are you telling us this? We're not doing science right now. Why are you telling us this? Well, as Norman Geisler said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. So when you begin to learn these things that contradict your faith, think. Use your wisdom. Because those who say, why would you believe in something so primitive? You say, why would you believe in something so impossible? Why? So be bold. What I've shown you this morning, many of your fellow students have no clue. They just believe, oh yeah, evolution happened, Darwinism is right, that's what I've been taught, so there you go. And yet, be the thinkers. Be the thinkers and say, wake up, let me tell you. Be the thinkers. Go beyond what school has taught you and go to what the Lord has taught you. Amen? Be the thinkers. Daniel found a compromise. He wasn't in a position to demand anything, and neither will you as a student. You cannot demand that a professor changes his lesson plan because that's what you want it to be, but you can be patient and say, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, let me share with you something. And there will be times, listen to me, that you will have to regurgitate something for a test that you don't necessarily believe in. Just wait. But you can certainly take that opportunity to go, look, I gave you the right answer that you wanted to hear. But that's not the right answer. The right answer is so much greater than this. Lastly, I want to leave you with this. And I realize it's such a catchy phrase and it's so overused sometimes, but hear me on this. God is in control. If you have your Bible still open, you'll notice three times in this passage. Verse number 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Verse 9. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Verse 17, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. Graduates, look right here. You are graduating from high school because God willed it to be so. God willed it to be so. These diplomas, your education, your career, your families, your going forth is because of God's will. Do not lose sight of that. Don't forget who holds you, who cares for you, who loves you. The world will tell you differently. Do not forget that God is in control. The world will say that your pastor standing before you is a fool. But I'm telling you, this is the truth. You can rely on it. God's Word tells us that He does these things. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. It will be hard at times. I get that. I've lived it. It's hard to trust Him sometimes, but trust Him. Your parents want to see you succeed in school. Man, I want to see my son bring home good grades. I want to see him enjoy this time in his life. But listen to me. There's not one diploma, not one scholarship, not one degree, not one great job, no honor that I want to see more than my son follow the Lord. All of those things can go away, but you guys, you ladies, do not neglect following the Lord. That is most important above everything. And I know your parents feel that way because for the first time in my life, I'm in their shoes. I am watching my son graduate and leave. Parents, pray for your kids. Pray for them. Do not let them be out of sight, out of mind. Lift them up. And you and I must trust the Lord with our children. He loves them more than we do. I know this, that for Daniel, there were no weekend visits for his parents. All they had was trust the Lord. Trust. Students, I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to call you my friends. I'm so happy that the Lord brought you to our church. It gave me and Reuben, John and Ashley the chance to teach you. Now go forth and don't forget. We'll hug you every time you come back. Don't forget. This morning we're going to come to an invitation. And maybe this morning you've heard the gospel that God loves you. And you've never responded to that. But you can this morning. You can come forward and say, I want to know that God. I want to know my Savior. I'll be here to receive you. If not me, one of the elders will be. I actually have something else I have to do at the beginning of this invitation because this is the other part of the invitation. Parents, grab your student, your senior, your families, and pray with them. I'm going to ask Reuben and to lead us in soft worship, but we're just going to take a moment. And if you are a church member here and you've had a hand in helping these students get to this point, maybe it's that you were the one who encouraged them when things were down. Maybe it was a time when you were their teacher. You can certainly feel free to come and put your hand on their shoulder and just pray with them. So I know there's going to be a lot of movement, and that's okay. So Reuben, I'm going to ask you that you come forward. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then students, I'm going to ask that you come forward with your parents. And you're not meeting with me, y'all. And if you want to meet in the back, that's fine, but let's just be still for a moment. Let's pray over our students, okay? Let's pray.